This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Tuesday, and oh my goodness, what a Tuesday it is. Apparently there's a new sheriff in town in the United States military, and we're going to dig into that speech today from Pete Hegseth in just a couple moments. I know what's on your mind. We will also touch on the government shutdown. I'm so excited. Russia's helping China. I'm less excited about that. Having a ring on your finger that gives you health updates. The FBI lying about something. What a surprise. And there's a Patsy alert with an international story. And we'll get to all that in a few. But I first want to talk about what happened today. Pete Hegseth, the military brass, in case you've been living under a rock, Pete Hegseth put the word out, all the military brass. And we have military brass all over the world, generals and admirals all over the world. He put an all hands on deck meeting out there. No. You're coming to Washington, D.C. You're all coming, and we're going to have a chat. So their entire entourages, which are large, drivers, all these assistants they have, had to get on planes, arrange travel, arrange lodging, and come to D.C. We'll get to the speech itself for a moment. Before we get to that speech, have you ever been house shopping with your spouse? I've done this a lot. I've lived everywhere. I've moved so many times in my life, more times than I can count, including post-marriage. And one thing you will quickly discover, should you ever go house shopping with your spouse, you know, you get a job, you got to move out of town, something like that, is how insanely different they look at something versus how you look at something. I walk in a house, I'm immediately checking out the living room. It's a good spot for the couch. I'll go look at the toilets to make sure they have oval toilets instead of round toilets, because I don't like sitting on the little dinky round toilets. I will check things like the height of the doorways. My wife doesn't check any of those things, doesn't care about any of those things. She's checking the kitchen. She wants to see, oh, can I put the blinds here? I could paint this. How's the yard for the kids? Is she wrong? No. Am I wrong? No. But for the point of our conversation here, we look at a home entirely differently. If I gave her 100 items to look for in a home, the roundness, or I should say ovalness, of the toilet would be nowhere on there. I promise you. It would never even occur to her to look at it. So now let me talk about you. Because this will come back to the military and Hegseth and everything that happened today. Let me talk about you. You get in your car in your town. And you drive through your town. And you come across the school, elementary school. What do you think when you look at the school? What do you think should be done, is being done in that school? What should that school do? Well, obviously, that school should teach kids things, important things they need to know. Teach them history. Teach them math. That school should be a place where children are given an education. Okay, all right. You drive, keep on driving. You see a major corporation. Let's say Coca-Cola's in your town. There's a big factory there. You look, and what do you think that place should do? Well, make Coca-Cola so you can have a glass of Coke. You keep on driving, you see a public library. What do you think that place should do? Well, it should loan out books. That's a place where people can go and borrow books and learn, read books. That's what they should do. Keep on driving. Come across a hospital. What should they do? Care for people who are sick or who are injured or who treat people. That's the very correct way you look at the world. That's the lens through which you look at the world. That institution has a job and they should do this. And that institution has a job and they should do that. And that's how you look at the world. But just like my wife and I, walking into a house, because I have once again dragged us across the country to move, just like my wife and I walking into the house, you have got to understand that's not how the communist views any of those things when he drives up the road. None of them. None. He drives up the road and he looks at that school and you know what he says to himself? Ooh, man, there are a lot of kids in there. We actually have them trapped in there. We have a captive audience. They can't escape. Boy, if we could get in there and we could start teaching them about communism, if we could teach them about the revolution, we could produce a lot of good foot soldiers in that school. He keeps on driving. He sees Coca-Cola. You saw a place where you could have a glass of Coke. After all, football season. He sees money that could be used for the revolution. Oh, man, look at the size of that factory. Look how many employees are there. I bet they're bringing in a lot of money. I bet if we leaned on them, I bet we could get some of that money for our revolution. After all, I'd like to throw a gay parade in this town. I bet I can get Coke to fund that with all that money. I could get in there. He drives by the public library. Books. I'm not interested in books. He's interested in the revolution. So, wow, public library. A lot of people go in there. Lots of kids even go in there. They'll go in there for homework. They'll go in there after school. You know what we could do? We could put a big tranny display in there. And then this Saturday, I know a couple drag queens will have some weirdo freak drag queens read to the kids. Yeah, we'll get those kids. You know what we'll do? We'll control the library, and then we'll shatter the souls of these kids, and they'll be communist recruits forever. He sees the hospital, caring for people. Oh, gosh, don't be ridiculous. This is a place where we can push whatever we want. Once we have that kid broken, shoot, we'll drag him in here and cut his penis off. The communist doesn't look at anything the way you look at things. Anything. Just like my wife and me and oval toilets. He doesn't even consider the things you consider. They don't enter his mind at all. And this will come back to the military. Here's a little soundbite for you. This is a show on Netflix. It is a show on Netflix. And it is a show, its label is 7 years old. This is a show for seven-year-olds. And if you have Netflix, your seven-year-old in the kids section. Remember, kids, there's a special kids section of Netflix where parents think their kids can get kid-friendly content. And your child, as you leave the room and you sign into the kids section, so your kid is going to be safe and he's not going to be subjected to anything you don't want him subjected to. Only this is what he listens to on Netflix.
It's not the park. It's me. I'm trans, Norma. And everyone at school knows, and everyone at home knows. And being here, it's like a whole new place. I can just be Barney, and I can choose if and when I tell people. I've never been happier. And that's saying something when I spent today chased by terrifying zombie mascots. Pugsley reminded me how important it is to live your life without apology. So I think I gotta give living here a shot. Don't you?
You don't need my permission.
You know how much thought and time goes into making a television show? Hiring the writers, the animators, the editors, the directors. You have to get producers to fund it. You know how much time and effort goes into a show? If I told you you could write a show for kids for Netflix, how much time, effort, and energy would you put into making sure you had a good show that entertained children, but the communist doesn't think like you? Your thoughts, your value system, they are not shared by communists. He thinks about destroying things. He thinks, oh, I have an opportunity to have a show on Netflix. Let me break some kids with it. We'll put it right in the kids section. So while you leave the room to go make some toast, Aiden, Jaden, and Braden can get a sunny view of tranniness. And that brings us to the United States military. What has been done, what happened today, and where we're going. Hang with me. I'm going to read you something first, because this is along the lines of exactly what we've been talking about. Jesse, I am a 25-year-old female, and a lot of events have hit close to home. I attended the university where Charlie Kirk was shot, and I'm also LDS. I am starting to consider saving up for a Byrna. I like the idea of having a non-lethal weapon, but I'm worried the fumes from the pepper ball or gel spray will hurt me just as much as an assailant. What are your thoughts? Thoughts are, this is why the thing has the range it has, the Byrna pistol launcher. I don't want you shooting him when he's right by you, although you have to if he's right by you. I want you shooting him when he's far enough away. So he's grabbing his nose and his face because he can't see and he can't breathe, and you are running the other direction, alive and well and safe, and that animal is left crying in the parking lot in the middle of the night instead of hurting you the way he wants. Everyone needs a Byrna launcher. They are not lethal. You don't have to stress if you don't like guns. They're legal in all 50 states. You just go online and order one, and they will send it to your front door, especially ladies. Get one. They're so small they fit in your purse. Get one. BYRNA. Byrna.com. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. I need to remind you of a couple things. First of all, obviously, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Also, tonight, our first semi-final matchup, India takes on Somalia. Only they're taking on Somalia not halfway through the second hour, 10 minutes into the second hour. I'm too excited for the semifinals. I can't help it. It's the Final Four.
It's the 2025 Crappiest Country in the World competition. Tonight's matchup is between India and Somalia. Brought to you by Twin City Septic. Paint the town brown.
One hour from right now, the two juggernauts square off for the right to go to the championship game. Anyway, now let's discuss what we were talking about in the opening. I was talking about how the communist looks at power, how he looks at everything. It's always through the lens of power and how that thing can aid the revolution, which brings us to the military. I could make this all the way about the government, but I want to talk specifically about the military because it's going to matter a lot because of what happened today. The military in our country, by the grace of God, does not rule. And honestly, they kind of, historically, the way you look at it, they almost should. Why not? They have all the guns. They have all the tanks, they have all the ammo, but that's not how our country was set up, and you should be very happy about that. Our country was set up where it's not the general with the most guns who rules. Our military serves underneath the civilian leadership. Why is that important? Because it gives you more control. You get to choose the civilian leadership, and then our civilian leadership, they tell the military what to do. This is what you will build. This is what you won't. This is where we're going to war. Our civilian leadership in our government tells the military where to go and what to do. And that's a good thing. Except the communists figured out a way to make it a very, very, very bad thing, you see. Because they, at various periods of time, have had control of our government. They have been in the White House. They've been in the House. They've been in the Senate. They're all throughout the bureaucracy. Now, I just explained in the opening of the show how the communist looks at your school, your library, Coca-Cola, and the local hospital. How do you think they look at one of the largest organizations on planet Earth, the United States military. Not just all those people, all that money, all those guns, all those bombs, all those bullets, and they have to do what they're told. And now pause for a moment. This is where the right was caught off guard by this. It's tempting to think, well, we all have to live in this country. We all, Democrats and Republicans, we all want to be safe in this country. So they're not going to start tinkering with the military because they need the military to keep them safe too. So sure, they're going to go after PBS and the Boy Scouts and everything else, but they'll leave the military alone, right? Again, I need to stress to you, the thought has never entered their mind. It never even occurs to them. America or patriotism or defeating our enemies or keeping people safe. When they think about the military, that never even occurs to them. In fact, many of the honest ones have expressed nothing but disdain for the military because they're patriotic, because they keep America safe. I can't tell you how many have told me to my face back when we were complaining about the George Floyd stuff in the NFL. There's no need for Black Lives Matter in the end zone and stuff like that. I've had multiple communists tell me to my face, don't tell me you don't want it to be political. It's always been political. They have the military there. What? The communist looks at the military people with their patriotism and their flags, and he thinks that's a hostile act towards him. Process that in your mind. So, with that in mind, as soon as they got command of the military, because they only look at everything through the lens of power, through the revolution, they sought to remake it. To remake it into something that not protected the country, not that gave your son or your daughter a leg up on life, something that exclusively served the revolution for the purpose of the revolution. They did not do this all at once. It didn't begin with the tranny gay race insanity that came a little later, which we'll get to in a moment. That's not where it began. It began with women. That's where it began. You know, communists oftentimes understand you can't do everything all at once. So how do you change the military? Well, you simply take women who are not physically as strong as men and you demand they integrate into all male units. And anybody who objects to this, you simply shame them by calling them a sexist, a misogynist. Why do you hate women? They will lower their head and lower their gaze and they'll walk away. And soon, you're rotting things from the inside out. We'll continue in a moment.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You'll love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, offending everybody as we discuss what happened to the military and the greatness of what happened today. We'll get to government shutdowns and emails and the FBI's a bunch of liars and so many other things. But the destruction, very focused destruction, the remaking, I should say, of our military did not begin with a bunch of tranny insanity. It began with the ridiculous idea that women should be in everything. That women should be in every single part of the military. That women are equal to men. That's an insane concept. Nobody's equal to anybody else. And men and women are different. They are not equal to each other at all. Being in the military is physical. I cannot stress this enough. It is a physical job. It is physical. It is exhausting. The things you have to do, things you don't even think of, will wear you out like you can't imagine. You have to be physical to be in there. But because we've been drowning in feminist crap and a bunch of feminized men who couldn't tell women no and were too afraid and a bunch of loser dork politicians always chasing the women vote, Men in this country never told women no when it came to the military, even though we have study after study, but you don't even need the study, but studies that prove the second you integrate women into units, the unit will become less effective. Less combat effective, less effective morale-wise, because women will blow up a locker room. It's not their fault. That's what happens when you put young men with young women. It is a disaster in every possible way, and we started to do it. But here's what happens, you see. You start saying, hey, this field, the infantry, is now open to women. That's not enough. Again, the communists understand, I need to get votes here. So what do? It's not enough to open it to women. They make a phone call. Hey, I better see some women in the Army Rangers real soon. Well, women can't pass Ranger training. Most men can't pass Ranger training. So what do? Hey, make sure some women get through. And they start lying and lowering standards and lying and lowering standards. And there's been book after book after book written about exactly this. Because the women could not meet the physical standards, they simply started changing them or lying or cheating and cramming them through. In all of this, the unit gets weaker and worse and weaker and worse. And the heartbreak in all this is not hurt feelings. The heartbreak in all this is people die. Forcibly integrating women into military units has already killed people in the United States of America, and it will continue to do so because women serve in many roles where they don't belong. I didn't say women shouldn't join the military, and so don't email me with your offense about I served, my daughter's in. Don't think that you're going to get anywhere pretending to be offended with me. I'm not impressed, and I don't care at all. It means your offense means nothing to me at all. There are plenty of ways for women to serve in the military, plenty of areas where they have served historically with great honor. Having them in the infantry is suicidal for a nation. They can't do it. They're not strong enough. They're not built for it. They don't have the hips. They don't have the lungs. They don't have the muscle. And so Pete Hegseth, Secretary of War, caused quite a hubbub with this.
Any place where tried and true physical standards were altered, especially since 2015 when combat arms standards were changed to ensure females could qualify, must be returned to their original standard. Other standards have been manipulated to hit racial quotas as well, which is just as unacceptable. This too must end. Merit only. The president talks about it all the time. Merit-based. Today, at my direction, each service will ensure that every requirement for every combat MOS, for every designated combat arms position, returns to the highest male standard only.
The highest male standard. Why say that? He said it multiple times. Why say that? Because that has to be the standard that saves lives. The highest male standard means the biggest, the strongest, the fastest. And if you are a woman that we are for some reason still allowing in these MOSs, no more step stools. No more getting bypassed. No more phone calls from senators about how many female commanders they want. It has to change because lives are at stake. Lives are at stake. People die when physical standards are not met in combat. People die. It kills people. Now that's one. So once the communists started worming women into every single place in the military, which is ridiculous, then they started to get a taste for it. The women were the primer. The women were the ones that got the ball rolling. Then they started looking around thinking to themselves, well, wait a minute. We do control this thing. Why don't we keep this going? Soon, you had the climate commies in there. We actually have, people don't even realize how deep the climate communist insanity inside the military is. He touched on it a little today.
To remove the social justice, politically correct, and toxic ideological garbage that had infected our department. To rip out the politics. No more identity months, DEI offices, dudes in dresses. No more climate change worship.
We actually have so poisoned the United States military, most people don't even know that they're aiming towards reducing their carbon. I kid you not. Trying to go green. Of course the climate communists are going to figure, we have the military, let's keep going. But it wasn't just the climate communists. The race communists, of course, got in on this as well. It's much less talked about because people don't like to discuss such things openly. But the naked anti-white racism that is pervasive now in the military is stunning. I could give you every email in the world. I, of course, will not. But just know white people have been smashed, run out, and passed over repeatedly purely for the color of their skins because the communists decided only black people and women, only minorities should be promoted, and white people, no matter how qualified, they should just sit there and shut up and take orders. He touched on
it. An entire generation of generals and admirals were told that they must parrot the insane fallacy that, quote, our diversity is our strength. Of course, we know our unity is our strength.
And it didn't stop there. Surely it would stop there, right? Okay, some climate stuff. Surely, okay, we got women in there. All right, of course, we're going to do the DEI thing. But don't think for a second it stopped there. No. We had to gay it up.
Why are you gay?
We control it. We have to start having drag races on military bases. We have to start promoting trannies. This person was an admiral.
Hello. I'm Admiral Rachel Levine. Climate change is having a disproportionate effect on the physical and mental health of black communities. Black Americans are more likely than white Americans to live in areas and housing that increase their susceptibility to climate-related health issues. And 65% of black Americans...
Disgusting. Promoting these people every chance they
can. We are liberating commanders and NCOs. We are liberating you. We are overhauling an inspector general process, the IG, that has been weaponized, putting complainers, ideologues, and poor performers in the driver's seat. We're doing the same with the equal opportunity and military equal opportunity policies, the EO and MEO at our department. No more frivolous complaints, no more anonymous complaints, no more repeat complainants, no more smearing reputations, no more endless waiting, no more legal limbo. No more sidetracking careers. No more walking on eggshells. Promote top-performing officers and NCOs faster. And get rid of poor performers more quickly. Evaluations, education, and field exercises will become real evaluations, not box checks, for every one of us at every level.
What the communists did to our military was evil. What happened today was the beginning of something new. Play a couple more clips when we move off this, but it was a good day. Before we get to that, you know what a bad day is? You have your bank account info on your phone. Most people have a banking app on their phone. Wrap your mind around opening up your bank app on your phone and seeing zeros. This is not something that is rare. Identity theft and the wiping out of people's bank accounts has become the norm. It is the business. Online theft has become the way people steal now. It used to be bank robbers with ski masks and a gun. Today, it's your PayPal account. Did you know 16 million PayPal users got their credentials jacked? Did you know that? Let LifeLock protect you. They will monitor everything. If something weird is happening, they will tell you. If, God forbid, that bank account is zero, they will make you whole. A restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Join LifeLock. Save up to 40% off your first year with the promo code Jesse at LifeLock.com. LifeLock.com, promo code Jesse, or call 800-LIFELOCK. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show, on air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So, without interrupting, without going into the background of all of it, I'll let the old Secretary of War have his say, and then we'll just wrap this thing up and move on to other things.
To remove the social justice, politically correct, and toxic ideological garbage that had infected our department. To rip out the politics. No more identity months, DEI offices, dudes in dresses.
Gosh, that's so good. This is so good. And rest assured, in case maybe you're wondering why he had to drag them all there in person, you have the most important conversations in person. I know this is the era of the Zoom call, of FaceTime, where we can just send a text message, shoot out a group email. No. If you have an important conversation to have with anybody, child, spouse, employee, anybody, you do it in person so they know you mean business. And rest assured, there were legions of generals and admirals in that auditorium quaking in their shiny uniform when he said this kind of stuff.
Our warfighters are entitled to be led by the best and most capable leaders. We have a sacred duty to ensure that our warriors are led by the most capable and qualified combat leaders. This is one thing you and I can control. The military has been forced by foolish and reckless politicians to focus on the wrong things. In many ways, this speech is about fixing decades of decay. For too long, we've promoted too many uniformed leaders for the wrong reasons. Based on their race, based on gender quotas, based on historic so-called firsts. Foolish and reckless political leaders set the wrong compass heading. And we lost our way. We became the woke department.
He has a lot of work to do, but it begins. And he put them all on notice. Now, I'm going to play a couple things for you. It's from The View. Don't worry, it's from The View. It doesn't matter. But I want you to hear it for a reason. This was Farrah Griffin.
Final thing, I did not like that Pete Hegseth, who did serve his country, but chose to denigrate the service of others. He name-checked three generals, two that I served
with. And fat-shaming. Big
two
time.
That I served with, General McKenzie and General Milley, both of whom have a combined nearly 100 years of service. General Milley served for 40 years in the military. You don't need to attack other people's service to make yourself feel better.
100 years of losing wars. And the fat shaming. They have a big problem with the fat shaming.
And also he said he was going to return to the highest male standard for combat positions because the troops were fat. I don't understand how that was supposed to be an uplifting message for our military.
Maybe he's referring to Colonel Sanders.
I don't understand how that was supposed to be uplifting. Why are you fat shaming? Now, let me clarify. I'm actually not mad. I understand that women sitting on the set of The View, a bunch of lib hag women, I understand that's how they're going to talk and that's how they're going to think. Why aren't you uplifting me? Why are you fat shaming me? The problem is for 2 to 3 decades, at least in this country, that's how military leadership thought too. I don't want to fat shame you. I don't want you to feel ashamed of being fat. That was my entire Marine Corps existence, was being shamed for or shaming others for ways they have failed, ways they have screwed up, and then teaching them how to do it better. That's what the military is. If you don't like that, go do something else. That's what it is, and that's what it should be. Standards. Why aren't you uplifting me? No one's uplifting you because you're too fat. That's why. Because a tank couldn't uplift you. Go for a run and put down the donuts. God. I'm happy. Look, I'm happy. I don't mean to get mad. I am happy, Chris. It is refreshing to have a new day. And to have Donald Trump stand up there and speak afterwards was also refreshing because what it did, it told them he meant business. What it did was, it was a visual backup for the Secretary of War. Hey, General, don't think for a second you're just going to ignore this. He's young. He doesn't know. We're going to ride it out. I'm here. I'm the Commander-in-Chief, and this is the way it's going to be. a very, very good day. And a day that will be dismissed. It'll be forgotten. We're not going to talk about it even. I don't know that we'll talk about it again in the show. And we're definitely not going to talk about it tomorrow. I'm going to let it go. But this is the day that may have saved your son's life. Did you know that? Maybe your daughter's life. Maybe all of our lives. Remember, in this day and age, war can come home really, really, really quickly. This day may have changed things. The communist conquered it. The communist did what he wanted with it. Now we have a lot of work to do cleaning it out. Speaking of places the communists sought out power and grabbed, they did that with the cell phone companies. You know that, right? Did you know what Verizon did in the wake of January 6th to all those people that were there? I would recommend you go look it up. I would recommend you go look up what your cell phone company did in the wake of George Floyd's protest. I want you to go look it up. These mobile companies were conquered as well and then used for the revolution. My company, PureTalk, was not. They would never allow that to happen. PureTalk's CEO was a Vietnam veteran. He laughs these dirty commies out of his office. I pay half of what you pay for my cell phone service, and I'm on the same cell towers. Do you want to join me? Right now, when you switch, you save an additional 50% off your first month. Pick up your phone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk. I'm sorry. I have to play one more thing. I've played it already. I love it because if you've ever been around the Pentagon or on a military base, you will run into a high-up officer who is fat and disgusting.
It's tiring to look out at combat formations or really any formation and see fat troops. Likewise, it's completely unacceptable to see fat generals and admirals in the halls of the Pentagon and leading commands around the country and the world. It's a bad look. So whether you're an airborne ranger or a chairborne ranger, a brand new private or a four-star general, you need to meet the height and weight standards and pass the PT test. But today, at my direction, every member of the joint force at every rank is required to take a PT test twice a year, as well as meet height and weight requirements twice a year, every year of service.
You know what a PT test when I was in? You know what it was? I'm sure they've adjusted it by now, but it was pull-ups, sit-ups, and a three-mile run. Pull-ups, sit-ups, a three-mile run. Do you understand how many of our troops, young and old, high and low, cannot run for 3 miles? A shocking number. A shocking number. It's got to change. And it is changing. And if you want a bright, shining example of why it needs to change and quickly, I'll give you one. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast.